welcome to Haunt Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And today, we're talking something serious. A controversy that has been talked about hither and yon upon the forums of haunting.
You may be being a little dramatic.
A little. Well, we gotta make it interesting or no one's gonna listen all the way through this boring crap.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. We gotta promise them something good, otherwise they're turning off after the conference reminder.
It'll be interesting.
We promise to try and make this one interesting. It has indeed been a topic that has been discussed. We have seen concerns. In fact, we've heard concerns in our own town about this exact issue, and that is consolidation and haunting. We're talking about what that means, what types of consolidation our industry is seeing, and kind of a where we are thing. But first things first, do take a moment, if you have not already, check us out at hauntweekly.com. That is our website. You can also find us at Facebook at Haunt Weekly, Twitter at Haunt Weekly. Big surprise, I know. Mm-hmm. And tinyurl.com/Haunt Weekly will take you to our YouTube channel. Please subscribe, click the notification bell, do all the things there. Be our good minions and subscribe to other places. I can't pull that one off.
No, we don't have minions.
We barely have each other half the time. Yeah. We're barely on the same page half the time, so I don't think we have minions.
Exactly.
But yes, first thing that is first this week is we do have conference reminders. Now, I will encourage you. I know I always, you know, we say conference reminders, big deal, blah, blah, blah. This week, pay attention. There is a test coming later.
Okay.
Well, not a test. It's coming up again.
All right.
At least briefly.
Oh, now I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's in the damn show notes, woman.
What the hell are you talking about?
We need to start a Patreon so someone will read the show notes.
I read some of it.
Give us $5 per month. We'll give you access to the show notes Crystal never reads.
I read them. I just went down a rabbit hole while reading them.
Oh, God. That rabbit hole's for another day.
Yeah, it is.
See, it's an odd week. I believe you start. You're the odd one.
I do. Exactly. All right. May 18th through the 20th. Coming up not too far away. Halloween Show and National Haunters Convention presents Halloween Boardwalk Empire in Atlantic City, New Jersey at the Showboat Convention Center. Features zombie volleyball, a hearse show, a Mardi Gras-themed costume ball, and much more. HalloweenShow.com for more on that.
All right, May 25th through the 27th is the Midwest Haunters Convention in Columbus, Ohio at the Greater Columbus Convention Center featuring a masquerade party and zombie walk. Pre-convention bus tour with 8 different haunts, including Lessons in Fear, Ohio State Reformatory, Rotten Manor, St. Lucifer Screen Park, Erebus, and more. Really, could you stop at Erebus?
Yeah.
Also, will be a brief stop in Hell, Michigan for ice cream. Mm-hmm. Sounds awesome to me. Learn all the details at MidwestHauntersConvention.com.
All right, June 22nd through the 23rd, it is Premier Haunted Attractions Tour and Education Series in Ulster Park, New York. Super 8 Kingston, touring the Headless Horseman and all 7 of its attractions, full itinerary still TBA, but whenever it becomes available, find out at premierhaunttourwith2ts.com.
Honestly, there's a pretty good chance by now with our update rate on these things that the full itinerary has been announced. All right, a new one this week. We actually learned about it before last week, but we completely forgot to add it to the show notes.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry about that, my fault. Blame me. Southeast Halloween Enthusiast Convention in Ocala, Florida, July 14th and the 15th. It's at 2300 Southwest 17th Road, Ocala, Florida. It doesn't have a name.
Yeah.
I checked. You can look it up on Google Maps. It's a building. That's the descriptor. It's a building.
No, that's really all you need to have a meeting.
You know, I can't really argue against that. There will
be. In fact, you don't even need a building.
Well, no, there was that one that was in the woods. We actually talked about that. It was a fall one, if I recall correctly. But anyways, it will feature a ghost walk tour and a costume ball. Learn more at SEHEC.com. That stands for Southeast Halloween Enthusiast Convention.com. So, work with me.
All right. July 27th through the 29th, it's Room Escape Conference and Tour in Nashville, Tennessee at the Music City Center. Tour info is TBA, although that may have been updated. RoomEscapeShow.com to find out if it has.
All right, then after that, July 28th through the 29th in Long Beach, California, it's Midsummer Scream at the Long Beach Convention Center. Most of the detail, TBA, midsummerscream.org to find info when it becomes available. And that brings us to full term. Like I said, there is going to be a test on that. So I hope you took good notes, kids, because it's open book.
Yeah.
All right, well, a few words about this week's topic before we, dive on into it. This is actually a suggestion from Maximus Christian Bryant.
Right.
We've mentioned his name a few times in the podcast before.
Yes.
Yeah, he's from the Dent Schoolhouse.
Right.
And this was he actually written us about this from a concern standpoint, I guess to say.
From an interest in seeing what we would think about it.
Yeah, I guess that's a better way to put it.
It was a topic idea suggestion, which you can give us.
Yes, at Haunt Weekly on Twitter and Haunt Weekly on Facebook. We take topic ideas.
And we will mention your name, as we just did.
Thank you, Maximus. If you want us to. If you don't want us to, we will still mention your name. No, we won't. Okay.
Just mention that you don't want it mentioned.
Yes, just please let us know that. Yeah. Okay. But anyways, this was especially relevant. This initially, we started hearing murmurs about this after HauntCon.
Right.
Where people were talking about the conventions and how they are being very much consolidated under one banner, or largely one banner.
Right.
So we have been seeing, talks about this for some time. And of course, we've heard murmurs about the 13th floor and how they just buying up everybody. It's a buying spree. They're going crazy.
Yep.
And buying up all the peeps. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so, and in fact, the 13th floor recently had a press release announcement that we're going to talk about in more detail, where they, went public with the acquisitions of the Scaratorium in Columbus, and I have to be careful to word this right, the location and things that made up the House of Shock, but not the House of Shock name.
Correct.
So, I gotta be careful about that one, because I keep wanting to say they bought the House of Shock. That's not true.
Right.
They bought the physical things of the House of Shock, not the IP, if you will.
Right.
Intellectual property remains. But regardless, so all this news has been coming out lately, and we are definitely seeing a trend of consolidation taking place. There's not much doubt about that. Because this is an industry that historically has been very much islands unto ourselves type deals. Small businesses propping, small to medium sized, even large businesses popping up, opening up haunts. And for much of our history, we were pretty terrible at working together as an industry for anything.
Yeah, well, and one of the things we've learned from talking to people all over the country is that seems to be localized to where we were. And it's not so much in some areas, though.
Well,
some areas, they cooperate and do cross-promotions.
Yeah.
I mean, we just talked to someone recently that still does that.
Yeah. But I was thinking more about the Garage of Evil was talking about when they decided to shut down. They were saying they started because people weren't sharing information. They weren't sharing
how
to build this prop, how to make this pneumatic.
Yeah.
They weren't sharing that. And so sites like the Garage of Evil came forth as a place to have these exchanges of ideas and make the industry better overall.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly what sites like that have done.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So yeah, historically, we've not been very good at cooperating. We've been getting better as time goes on.
Right.
There's still a lot of, I think, needless competition and needless competitiveness.
Yeah.
I don't see why you can't work with other haunts in your area to provide deals like we've seen.
Well, especially if your market's not oversaturated. Like, if there's 50 haunts, then yeah, there's going to be a lot of competition.
Yeah.
But there are a few hot spots like that where there's going to be that many.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the issues we've seen a lot of is there are markets that do feel to be oversaturated, but like you said, not very many.
Right.
most markets to me feel kind of underserved, if anything.
Yeah, I would say Louisiana in general is underserved.
Excuse me. All right. Yeah, this definitely, I would say where we're at in the Southeast Gulf Coast area,
right,
very much underserved.
Yeah.
Like, I know New Orleans can host another haunt or two, big haunt or two, pretty easily.
Right.
And I know Baton Rouge could probably have another one. Right now it's so dominated by 13th Gate. And I love the hell out of the 13th Gate. I've waxed right. poetic about them many a time.
Yeah.
But, you know, Baton Rouge could use a second haunt, is what I'm saying. It's, it would not hurt the 13th Gate at all.
No.
So, you know, things like that. Yeah, there are a lot of underserved. Right now, we've heard from talking to people like the Ohio Valley area that it's very different up there.
Right.
That there does seem to be more of a competition. But regardless, that's not the point what we're talking about this episode.
Yeah.
There is definitely a lot of consolidation happening right now, and it's happening in three different ways. One of which everyone's been talking about.
Yeah.
The other two have been getting less attention.
Yeah.
The one everyone's been talking about is national level consolidation.
Right.
And the 13th floor is the poster child of that.
Yeah.
And to be completely clear about what we're talking about, we're just like talking about the subject. There are no heroes or villains here.
No.
We're not talking smack about anyone.
And since they haven't had a season here yet, we can't review them either or tell you what we think about them.
Exactly. So we can't really say anything about them, good or bad. We're just being straight with what we've seen and what we've heard and what we know.
Yep.
Currently, 13th Floor owns at least 14 haunted attractions. They have 12 listed on their site, and they have two that they announced, the Scaratorium and what was the physical stuff in the House of Shock.
Right.
And neither of those are listed on the site currently.
Yeah.
They also have 3 year-round attractions, including 2 escape games and 1 axe-throwing place, and 4 touring events. They're even getting into Christmas stuff, it seems.
Mm.
So they're staying busy. They recently acquired Scaratorium in Columbus. Nina, episode 38.
Yes.
We sat down with her. She's from there. And like I said, they purchased all the physical stuff from the House of Shock here in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
They also announced a partnership with A24. It's a company that is known for financing some pretty big budget horror films, which is interesting to see movie money coming into the haunt industry.
It is.
Usually when that happens, it's because movies are shooting and using the sets of haunted attractions.
Right, but I can see how this would also be an opportunity for actors.
Yeah.
You know, if they needed extra zombies in their zombie flick or whatever, you would have that available. In fact, you know, haunted houses really could be a one-stop shop for horror movie industry.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, something to think about. Like, imagine if, like, you wanted to shoot a horror movie, and you rolled up to the 13th Gate.
Yeah.
And the 13th Gate's like, yeah, we can provide you the sets, or at least a lot of the sets.
Right.
And we can provide you a lot of the extras you're going to need
right.
in it.
The extras, the makeup for the extras, the costumes, all of that's a package deal.
Yeah, why the hell isn't this done more often?
I don't know.
That's a damn good question.
Because
anyways,
we've got the experience. We're just not selling it to the industry.
Anyway, but the reason people are talking about 13th Floor so much is they've been in a very rapid expansion period. In 2015, they just had 8 attractions. In fact, at that time, it was all their attractions.
Right.
Yeah, basically, 13th Floor, they run 4 attractions that carry the name 13th Floor. I'm pulling up their site because I can't remember. I forgot to jot down in the notes what cities they were in.
Right.
They run 4 attractions with their name in Chicago, Denver, Phoenix, and San Antonio. They have 2 houses of torment,
mm-hmm.
one in Chicago, one in Austin. And then they have what looks like haunts they've acquired.
Yeah.
Which is like Nashville Nightmare, Nashville Haunted Woods, Los Angeles Haunted Hayride, The Asylum, Fear Farm, and Terror on the Fox, mm-hmm. and so forth. So, yeah, they only had 8 just 3 years ago.
Right.
And now they're up to at least 14.
Yeah, at least.
At least. They may be even bigger. I don't make it my life's work to keep up with them.
No, so they talk about your rabbit holes.
Yeah, no kidding. We went on a few rabbit holes and investigating this and got some topic ideas for later.
Yeah.
Okay, that's national consolidation, though. There's also the issue of local consolidation.
Right.
There are several cities in this country that are dominated by just one haunt company.
Right.
And a good example of this is St. Louis, where everything is dominated by the company that was... it's complicated. We don't know the whole situation. But, of course, by the people that run the darkness.
Yeah.
Also control Creepy World and the Abyss and Limp Brewery, the three major attractions in that area.
Right.
There are others around.
Yeah.
But it's also interesting because the same company controls both the websites that list haunts and the magazines that talk about haunts.
Right. There's no bias there.
No, there's no potential for bias.
Right.
Really.
Potential. There is. Potential.
There's no potential issues there, I'm sure.
Yes.
Now, this is a difficult issue to track because it usually doesn't happen through... It usually happens through expansions, not buyouts.
Yeah.
We don't usually get, like, news stories like, you know, X and such haunt buys this haunt in Toledo or whatever.
Right.
You don't see a lot of that. It's X haunt opens a new haunt.
Yeah.
And they just kind of quietly take over that tier by simply opening up new places, by opening up second and third and fourth locations and whatever. And in many areas, can only really sustain one major haunt or one major haunt owner. Like, I mean, we talked about Baton Rouge. I do think Baton Rouge could have another sizable haunt, but I don't know the numbers.
Yeah.
I didn't really look at it. I know Baton Rouge is not a huge town. Mm-hmm. I feel pretty confident New Orleans could. Because it is it's a city with so much history. What New Orleans really needs is a good year-round attraction, though.
Yeah.
Somewhere in tourist town.
Yeah.
Or at least a 9-month a year attraction. Screw some. Don't tourist in New Orleans in summer.
No.
Just trust me. If you even have an inkling of an idea that's a smart idea, just hit your head against the wall until the idea leaves.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah, from about September through April. I would say
you could get into May. Like, I think like May 1st would be a good cutoff date.
Well, yeah, I was thinking end of April.
Okay,
so
yeah. Okay, yeah. It's pretty safe. But you do not want to be in here for most of May, June, July, or August. Those 4 months.
But that would be 4 months to change things and update them.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got that working for you.
So, yes. But yeah, I mean, like, staying locally again, Hammond, with the Hammond area, I should say, it's technically Tickfall, but can it sustain another haunt the size of Rise?
I don't know.
Probably not.
I don't think that there's enough local population yet.
Yeah. Now, mind you, that is an area of rapid growth. In a few years, we might change.
Right.
The North Shore area is rapidly getting much bigger. I forgot all words, apparently.
Yeah.
Anyways. But the third type of consolidation we're going through is conference consolidation.
Right.
And this is where the test of the conference reminders comes in.
Yep.
The company behind Transworld Trade Shows, in addition to running Transworld, runs Midwest Haunters Convention, Premier Haunted Attractions Tour and Education Series, the Legendary Haunt Tour, the Room Escape Conferences and Tour, Escape Room City, and a bizarre Christmas show that just doesn't fit in. But three of those were in our conference reminders.
Right.
And they're among the three biggest.
Yeah.
And that leaves HauntCon as, I think, the largest non-affiliated conference, but even it is co-owned by Halloween and Party Expo.
As of this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Consolidation.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is what I'm talking about. So, yeah, our industry conferences are dominated mostly by one company and almost wholly by two.
Yeah.
I mean, you have Halloween and Hauntfest, West Coast Haunters Convention.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have a few others, but as far as, you know, things dedicated directly to haunted attractions.
Yeah.
You got to work hard to find a conference that's not one of those two.
You do.
All right. So, what are the advantages of consolidation? Consolidation, and we're speaking more to the industry.
Yeah.
And not necessarily, and to the haunts that are a part of the consolidation, obviously, but to the industry as a whole, too. Well, the first advantage is that it brings money.
Right. Because you can't control that many things without money backing it.
Yeah, this is money backing it. And when you have a large corporation backing a large number of haunts, haunts that are struggling can be propped up for a little bit or can get the necessary renovations they would make. Mm-hmm. Basically, you know, many haunts close because they find themselves getting stale or their numbers start declining, and they don't have the funds to both make the changes they need or want to make to open next year and do the marketing and do the other things they have to do, pay rent and other stuff they got to do with that money.
Right. Well, and there are some haunts that I know of where the creativity and things in the haunt are really, really good, but the business side of the experience is lacking.
Yeah.
And so this could help with that too, because they would have business acumen.
Yeah. I agree with that. They can help, and that's something that a consolidated organization behind it can help with.
Right.
Also, it's worth noting that these large corporate haunts tend to pay their actors and workers.
Right. In fact, I heard that 13th Floor even has career paths for advancement in the haunt industry for actors, which is great.
Yeah, I heard from a couple people when 13th Floor bought the property that was House of Shock. A couple of people I know of who had been working at the House of Shock for decades, in some cases we're talking, for free, were getting their first paychecks as pro haunters.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not a bad thing.
It's not, and I'm really excited to see what they do here, because previously the only paid haunt in New Orleans where actors could get paid was the mortuary.
Yeah.
And we are friends with several mortuary.
Yeah, we're friends with some people at pretty much every haunt.
Yeah.
As you would expect.
Yeah. And it's an interesting experience working there. And I'll not go into that. But
yeah. It definitely is. I've heard it's described like a job.
Yeah, it is.
Basically. Which I have a hard time thinking of haunting like a job personally, but that's my mindset.
Right.
Anyways. Also, it provides predictable, comfortable branding. Basically, there is a reason why people go to McDonald's on road trips.
Yeah.
You know that when you go to a McDonald's, no matter where you are, you're going to get the same goddamn thing. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there's the legendary story of the special sauce gun that McDonald's has, which basically ensures that every Big Mac gets the same amount of special sauce.
Unless you're in South Carolina.
Kind of asshole. That's another story we're not getting into. Ooh, the lordy. That was a fun trip. Anyways, but the point is, even if the brand is just adequate, as long as it is dependable and something people can rely upon, it can do well for itself and earn trust.
Yeah.
The final advantage is that economies of scale. This one's fairly basic.
Mm-hmm.
Large companies can save resources. If you working with a company that oversees a large number of haunts, you don't need certain employees at every single location. You can centralize things like the office staff, the accounting, the email response,
payroll,
even the payrolling, all that. You can also centralize the marketing.
Yeah, basically the business stuff you can centralize.
And even the social media can be centralized too.
Yeah.
You can run it all from a central location, pay one person to run multiple haunts. It saves money, it saves time, and helps ensure quality control.
Yep.
It's much better than having, it can be much easier than having 20 separate people doing different things.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them couldn't go rogue at any moment.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, yeah. But what are the disadvantages / concerns, we should say? One is consolidation can lead to homogenization.
Yeah.
And this is especially true in creative industries. And the reason is this. The bigger the stakes are, the more that's on the line, the fewer risks companies take.
Right.
This is just an almost universal truth across all business.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it every multi-million dollar blockbuster is a sequel of a known property? It's because they can't take huge risks with that amount of money. They have to be very assured they're at least going to get the money back.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you see, you know, Avengers 18 or whatever it is coming up.
Yeah.
You know why.
Well, yeah, because they just tested a new superhero. New superhero did well. They're going to release an Avengers with new superhero.
Yeah.
And then everybody from all of the fans, all the ones included, are going to go see it.
Yeah. They're trying to make sure that their money is safe.
Yeah.
And when you're a big company, then it makes a lot of sense because if you don't just have your haunted house on, you don't just have your business on the line, but dozens of others.
Right.
You're going to move more cautiously because a misstep, a bad gamble, doesn't just put you out of business. It impacts thousands of other people, possibly.
Right.
So that's the reason. And that, an interesting analog to this is, once again, going back to professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Professional wrestling used to be much, much bigger than it is today.
Mm-hmm.
It looks huge as hell, especially if you watch Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
But back in the territory days of the 50s and 70s, pretty much every state, or at least every region of a couple of states, had a wrestling territory.
Yep.
And those territories were served by a unique organization, a unique promotion that had their own style of wrestling, their own superstars.
Mm-hmm.
And they worked their own shows. And they would even do, and this is a good time to listen to the Jim Cornette podcast if you want to learn more about this. It's very interesting because you would hear them about them doing spot shows and like little house shows in towns. I grew up in South Carolina, and Jim Cornette is describing town names in South Carolina. They drew like 4,000 people out.
Yeah.
That I could not even tell you where it is on a map. I couldn't even point to the region of the state it's in.
Right.
I mean, he's mentioning town names. I'm like, the hell is that?
Yeah.
I lived there for 20 years.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you some of those town names. But anyways, when WWE began its national expansion in the late 70s into the 80s, it basically took over. It put the territories out of business, and wrestling became much more homogenized. Vince McMahon now controls the vast majority of wrestling in this country. And as a result of that, far, far fewer people are earning a living from professional wrestling, both as wrestlers, managers, bookers, writers, you know, anybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And you don't have those house shows drawing 4,000 at some random town in South Carolina.
No, you don't. And, yeah, the WWE-WCW wars in the 90s... that eventually ended with WWE buying WCW.
And ECW. Yeah, that was when I officially left wrestling as a fan.
Yeah, well, and I don't see... I think that competition's good.
It is.
And I think variety is good. And whenever you take away the biggest sources of that, then you're going to have issues surviving.
Yeah. And... like, everyone who knows wrestling knows that the peak in terms of excitement about wrestling, at least televised wrestling,
right,
was the quote-unquote Attitude Era, which went from the early 90s into the late 90s. And that was when the WCW war was at its hottest.
Yeah, but the Golden Night Age was in the 80s, so, yeah. You know.
Well, that's the Golden Age of cartoony wrestling. Thanks to the likes of Hulk Hogan, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and those guys, and Hillbilly Jim, and
yeah.
Anyways, but the point remains, and the point we're trying to hit at here is you would have territories that would have very different styles of wrestling. Some would be very, what we would think of as hardcore wrestling, lots of blood and guts and weapons. Others would be more technical.
Right.
Others would be for the big, strong men who'd throw each other around the ring. And some would be for, like, the luchador types, the cruiserweights that like to go around flying and jumping off crap.
Yeah.
You would have a lot of different flavors all over the country, and you don't have that now.
Right.
And comic books underwent something similar. It used to be going back to the 20s and 30s. There were dozens, if not hundreds, of comic publishers. And you could find comics of nearly anything. You wanted romance comics, they had them. You wanted crime dramas, they had them. You wanted superhero comics, they had them. They had everything.
Yeah.
But eventually there was consolidation. A lot of that was due to contraction in the industry in this case. But things contracted. And now we have just Marvel and DC, effectively, for like controlling the vast. There are others, I know, but it's the vast majority is Marvel and DC.
Well, and a lot of comics have moved to online, too.
Yeah.
To try to get some of that, you know, homegrown feel back.
Yeah, the internet has been a boon, I would say, for comics in that regard, for independent comics, and also independent video game developers.
Yeah.
And we're also seeing it for independent like YouTubers, video developers, video producers. Right.
Yeah, so, supposedly you can have a career podcasting, but I don't see
that. Yeah,
now.
I don't see that either. But anyways, the other next reason is it makes it difficult for smaller operations to compete and grow. money and resources poured into making, that are pouring into these consolidated haunts, make it difficult for the smaller operations to survive. This is especially important with actors.
Right.
Actors are probably the most precious and limited supply. And when a company is pouring all this money in, smaller guys are going to have a hard time hiring the actors they need or recruiting them. But it also impacts advertising, finding the good locations, and any unique props or items that you might want for the haunt. Anything that, you know, you can't make two of, basically.
Right.
And you can't split your actors in half. Believe me, I've tried.
Only once.
Two locations. But the other thing to think about, and this is the one that I think puts me in a bit of a panic, is it creates a single point of failure.
Right.
And going back to wrestling, what happens if WWE goes bankrupt?
Yeah.
What happens to professional wrestling in North America?
Yeah.
It's screwed.
Pretty much.
It's completely screwed. If WWE has a bad financial year, or something goes wrong with the WWE network, or they have a bad lawsuit, or anything,
yeah,
and they go under, we're screwed. The professional wrestling in the United States is screwed.
Yeah.
It's not like Ring of Honor, Impact, ready to stand, rush up and take the mantle.
Right.
It's just, it's screwed. So yeah, while consolidation makes failure less likely to happen, it makes it much more damaging when it does.
Or if it does. Yeah.
Failure is always an option.
It is.
So, failure should always be the assumed state.
Okay.
Especially in this industry.
Fair enough.
So, the next question is, where are we in terms of consolidation? According to America Haunts, there are currently 1,200 admission charge and haunted houses. That does not include home haunts.
Right.
And the number still seems low to me.
Yeah, that seems pretty low considering, you know, how many we just went to last year.
But I'm willing to work with it because it gives us an idea. The number of haunts owned by 13th Floor and any other big companies that may be lurking out there that haven't been getting as much attention cannot be more than a few dozen.
Yeah.
So numerically, not very.
Right. It's a small percentage of the full industry.
However, the issue is that the haunts they are buying are the very top tier.
Right.
They're buying the House of Shocks, the Scaratoriums, the Nashville Nightmares. They're buying those guys.
Yeah.
They're not buying Billy Bob's Trail Haunt.
No.
By the way, if no one has a Billy Bob's Trail Haunt, I'm trademarking that. It's mine. Ah.
Yes. Now, if somebody wants to buy Bernie Baxter's.
I have completely licked Billy Bob's Trail Haunt. And yes, we will sell Bernie Baxter. Nobody wants to buy Bernie Baxter. I'm very sure of that. Yeah, but so, and that's the thing is nearly every haunt they own is a major haunt, if not the major haunt in the area.
Right.
So while we're not being very consolidated numerically, at the top tier, we're getting pretty damn consolidated.
Yeah.
Which that creates a real risk. What's driving it is a tough question. Because obviously we don't know what's pushing these haunts to sell. We don't know what's pushing 13th Floor to buy. These are decisions they can't talk about, but obviously it comes down to money.
Yeah.
That's really what it is. Putting on a top tier haunted attraction is both high risk and very, very expensive.
Yeah, but if you can get a good price on an established brand with all of the props and everything included, then you cut some of that cost.
You cut some of the cost, and by having other haunts, you spread the risk around of that purchase.
Yeah.
One bad year at one haunt isn't going to close anyone.
Right.
And that's the whole beauty of this system.
Yeah, so, now I do think that there are probably targets that these haunts that have been acquired have to reach.
Yes, absolutely. I'm sure there are.
I would be worried if they're not able to for some reason.
Yeah. But put it like this. House of Shock is one of the best known haunted attractions in the country.
Yeah.
It's one of the biggest names.
It makes lots of lists.
It has some of the highest attendance numbers I can fathom.
Yeah.
I mean, it is absolutely insane. They've got to be in the top upper percentile of haunt attendance. And they nearly closed a few years ago and were only rescued by an anonymous investor.
Right.
because they couldn't afford to keep the doors open. It's not their fault.
Yeah.
It's just, it's difficult.
Right. It is difficult. And, you know, and it's also interesting stating all of that, knowing that they were mostly a volunteer crew, like we've talked about previously.
Yeah. It is. It's interesting. And it shows how much money goes into these haunts, especially if you have a pyro show.
Right.
How much money goes into them. And how difficult it is to make a profit on the back side of it.
Right.
And consolidation gives the haunts the resources they may not have had previously. And it's not just money. It's also expertise, personnel, and things that they might not have had access to.
Right.
So basically, it's the way of saying, hey, look, you know, it's a pairing of resources and haunters so that they can make more money. The people with the money can make more money. And the people with the haunt can stay alive and keep haunting.
Yeah.
That seems to be what's driving it.
Yay, haunting.
Yeah, it's I think of it as like a financial shock absorber for the haunt.
Yeah.
Should we be worried? We're getting to the upper echelon of the question here.
Mm-hmm.
In my view, right now, probably not.
Yeah.
I'm not hopelessly concerned with it at this moment, because like I said, everyone's noticing the 13th floor right now because they've been on this buying spree.
Right.
And they bought up a lot of very big names that we all know.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, they only control, like I said, just over a dozen haunts.
Yeah.
A significant number of big names. But, you know, if we assume that the 1,200 is a relatively accurate number, it's less than 1%.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think that it's something to watch, yes, but I absolutely don't think it's a problem.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Now, I think the Canary in the Coal Mine is going to be the smaller haunts in the areas.
Right.
If they start closing or struggling, then we may have issues. Because you don't have to, then that's one of the things I do want to impress. Even though numerically it's not a lot of haunts yet.
Right.
It is, as I said, like a fair number of the big name haunts. And you don't have to consolidate a large number of haunts, especially in this industry where we have such strata.
Right.
With our tiers. You don't have to get a large number of haunts to get a large percentage of attendance.
Right. Well, and two things on this point. One is they're not buying up all the haunts in one area.
No.
So that's going to help those smaller haunts stay in business. Especially considering that the smaller haunts are already staying in business and keeping their doors open against these bigger haunts that are being bought up.
Yeah. And we've talked before about how we know people who open haunt, who have successful haunts, and like Orlando.
Yeah.
The land of Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah.
I'm amazed.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's the thing that we've said over and over. Other haunts is not your, it's not your competition.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, we have heard that there are issues getting actors in that area because of Halloween Horror Nights.
And I'd imagine the same thing goes in places where like 13th Floor is operating and has a strong presence, like in Chicago area.
Right.
You're going to see similar issues, just because any big organization operating is going to hoover up a lot of the actors.
Right.
And that's going to be a problem, especially if they're paying well. Mm-hmm. And I'm definitely not against actors being paid.
No.
You know, the competition over labor, I think, is a good thing for actors in general.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, that's one of the things I'm really hoping for. A couple of people that I know that have stopped working at haunts because there's not a good paying option here in town.
Yeah. In fact, we get a lot of our actors at our haunt. They were people that came from either Mortuary or House of Shock previously, and they loved haunting, but they couldn't make the commitment that they required for the money they were offering or the no money they were offering
in
the
case
of House of Shock. So they're like, hey, I can do it for the 3 nights you're open, though.
Well, or they had problems with
personal conflicts or whatever. But we've heard it multiple times, though, that they love haunting, they just can't commit what the actual haunts want from them.
Right.
At what they're paying.
Yeah.
So, I think this is a good thing ultimately for actors.
Yeah.
But the question is, how will it impact smaller haunts?
Right.
It can work, though. Having smaller haunts in areas with giants can work, especially if you offer an experience that is different.
Yeah.
if you offer custom, like the haunt we know in Orlando is the Trail Haunt.
Right.
Halloween Horror Nights does not do a woodsy trail haunt.
No.
They do many things, but they do not do that.
Yeah, it sounds really interesting. We've had Sylvia on to talk.
A Petrified Forest is the haunt, sorry.
Yes, A Petrified Forest.
I don't know why we're talking cryptically about it. Like,
I don't
we're
know
We're not saying
either.
Her name. she's on witness protection or some crap.
What? Yeah, I know.
Sorry,
I don't
Sylvia.
Know. That was episode 74, if you want to go listen to it. Where we talked to her about, because she is the actor manager there.
Actor wrangler type.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's very, very good at her job. Yeah. We attended her class at HauntCon. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Now, one thing I will say that I've noticed the 13th floor is doing, they're doing it, definitely doing it here in New Orleans, and I've heard they're doing it elsewhere.
Right.
Is they are taking ownership, but not creative control.
Right.
They are leaving the creative team in control there to run it locally. They're just providing resources, and they're providing some general guidance, but the actual details of the haunt are being left to the people on the ground.
Right.
I think that's a smart move.
I do, too, because it doesn't make it feel cookie cutter.
Yeah.
If this is the case where... You know, the creative team here is different and has the ability to make creative decisions, because that is one of the worries with an overarching corporation. Mm-hmm. Then it's not going to be cookie cutter. Then I can go to one in a different city and get a different experience.
Yeah.
Now, if I go to two and they're both the same, I'm going to be very disappointed and probably won't go to another one. But with them keeping that creative, local creative in place, I think that won't happen.
And it's also, this once again, going back to the wrestling thing, it goes back to being able to deliver a product that your local audience wants.
Right.
Does your local audience want a more hardcore, scary thing? Do they want something more family-friendly?
Mm-hmm.
They want something in between. Do they, you know what I mean? They want actor-driven. They want prop-driven. You know the people in your area.
Right.
And you can provide an experience tailored to them. And that's one of the reasons, like, the wrestling territories worked, was because they provided a style of wrestling that area liked.
Yeah.
And then when everything got all WWE and homogenized, a lot of people jumped off the train because they couldn't see their style of wrestling anymore.
Yeah.
And they got upset about it. So that it's smart that way, and it keeps that local flavor alive. It keeps that individuality alive. I think that's a good move there. I think that's very, very smart of them.
Right.
Honestly, it's probably the best way they could handle it in terms of making sure that things do not get homogenized.
Mm-hmm.
An interesting comparison that I think would be a negative comparison is to, well, not to 13th floor, but like someone that did it worse would be Ripley's.
Yeah.
They have haunted attractions, year-round haunted attractions all over the country. They're all pretty much the same.
Yeah.
And even if they're not the same, they feel very similar.
Right.
It's a Ripley's haunt, you can say.
Yeah.
And if you go to England, there's a chain of attractions called The Dungeon. There's The Dungeon Edinburgh, there's The Dungeon London, there's The Dungeon like Manchester, there's
right.
The Dungeon, you know what I mean? Dungeon, every freaking town's got one. And they're all the same too. We didn't actually go to one. We kept mentioning it to people, and every local was like, no!
Yeah. We'll this probably go next time we get overseas, because...
We're suckers.
Yeah.
Well, then we enjoyed the little thing they had at Onnit Castle. That was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. And, I mean, the thing is that the trips that we looked into doing that, we were just too far away and didn't have time.
Yeah.
Not actually every town, it just feels like it.
and you see the brochure, it sure as hell looks like every town.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we only had like 5 hours in Edinburgh when we were there.
I think it was tight.
Yeah.
And we had a lot we wanted to do.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, you don't want necessarily something that's that homogenized. Okay, I'm looking up where the dungeons are now. You got me curious. Okay. London, Blackpool, Edinburgh, Warwick Castle, York. That's the five in the UK. So there's only five in the UK, it turns out. There's one in the United States in San Francisco.
Huh.
Huh.
Interesting.
And there's also one in Shanghai.
So they're expanding.
Yeah, and they have one in Amsterdam, one in Berlin, and one in Hamburg.
Hmm.
Hmm. Well, there you go, folks. The locations of the dungeons. we got like 5 more minutes to kill. I'll kill it creatively if I want.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so yeah, I think that's it. But seriously, I do think that's a smart move. All in all, I think right now the direction we're heading seems to be largely a good thing if we can find that balance between consolidation and independence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be the tricky thing. It's like I said, if we can maintain having the mom and pop haunt, if we can maintain having upstart haunts,
right,
if we can keep that spirit alive, consolidation doesn't by itself hurt us, because it may bring in outside funding to the industry that can help make better attractions and help make this industry better for everyone.
Right.
There are a lot of risks with it, and we sure as hell should be watching it very closely.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not personally panicked yet.
No.
Now, we will have more to say about this after this haunt season.
Right.
And the reason is, supposedly, New Orleans will be getting its first 13th floor attraction.
Yes.
In the location that was the House of Shock, something will be opening. We don't even know the name of it.
No.
So
it'll be interesting.
You know, I've got to say, this is the most amped I have been for next year's haunt season in April.
Yeah.
Because usually right
and we've
now...
we've been this way for a little while, since we found out,
yeah,
basically,
but pretty much since we
in
found
October.
Out. Yeah, been in October, yeah. We've been mulling this. It's like, well, it's something brand new, something different. It's going to be interesting.
Well, and we love new haunts. We love going to different haunts, and that's part of the excitement around this.
Yeah.
And I really do hope that they do well by the actors and give the really good local actors who have been burned at other places a place to go. They can get paid.
Don't get all of them. We need about a dozen of them for ourselves.
Yeah.
If you can leave like a dozen for us, we'll be cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just 12. That's all we're asking, okay? It's not much. We're a small operation.
Yeah.
Oh, God. But yeah, I really do think we need to keep an eye on this, though, but I don't think it's necessarily a travesty yet.
Right.
As long as we're still seeing the local control of creativity,
mm-hmm.
as long as we're still seeing the mom-and-pop success, and as long as there's room for new haunts, because that's the big fear everyone has, is that this consolidation is going to happen, all the big haunts are going to be under one umbrella, and they're just going to completely crush every other haunt,
right.
either buy or crush every other haunt that opens up. And I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't think that's practical or possible.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I understand that fear, and we definitely should be watching for it at the same time.
Right.
So, like I said, not super worried in the moment, but definitely getting more vigilant about this, especially as the 13th floor seems to be expanding like it just ate Willy Wonka's gum. But, yeah, any final thoughts on this?
No, I think we've covered it pretty well.
Yeah, we can go and wrap up a bit early, but just I understand the concern,
right?
And maybe it's a little different for us as home haunters, as avid home haunters who don't have a business stake in this, but also work with a lot of actors at the pro haunts and have acted in pro haunts ourselves,
right?
We kind of have that perspective of it, so we might be looking at it a little bit differently.
Well, and we have also lost some actors to haunts that pay.
Yeah, we lost one of our best actors.
Yeah.
And a few years back, we lost him to a haunt that paid. And, dude, make your money. I get
it. Yeah.
I don't fault you for
for
following the dollar, but
but it does.
It still left us in a bad place, yes.
Well, it's just going to be harder to find to recruit new people.
I think we're okay because where we are geographically.
Yeah.
And the fact we're only asking for a 3-night commitment.
Yeah.
I think those facts save us.
Yeah.
Because basically, there's going to be a lot of people with, like, real jobs, quote unquote. I'm doing the air quotes, you just can't see them.
Right.
Real jobs that don't want to do the big 20-night commitment or whatever mm-hmm. at another haunt, but can do 3 at ours. So I think that's where we're going to be at our strongest, is with those people like that.
Yeah.
Well, anything else?
No, that's it.
Well, on that note, everyone, thank you for wasting the past 50 minutes with us. Hope this conversation was entertaining and endearing once again. We are Haunt Weekly. You can find us at hauntweekly.com. We are Haunt Weekly on Facebook and Twitter. tinyurl.com/hauntweekly takes you to our YouTube channel, where you can subscribe and click that little notification bell and get updates there, and also peruse the entire archive of episodes without having to do the weird thing in your iTunes where you gotta get all the past episodes. Bizarre. But anyways, and indeed, on top of that, we are on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Google Play Store, wherever finer podcasts are sold. They haven't thrown us out yet. I don't know why. But until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly, episode number 125, talking about haunted attraction consolidation. We will see you guys next week.